Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, truly blessed to be a child of God, knowing that all things work together for our good. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for waking me up. Hallelujah. And I mean that. Hallelujah. Because I was sleeping pretty good. As they say, when you're snowing and calling hogs. But I was grateful that God woke me and gave me a word this morning. And the word that God gave me this morning is this, where there is no partiality with God. There is no partiality with God. God is not partial. He loves us all equally. He loves us the same. And, you know, we're going to be today in our New Testament word. We will be in the book of Acts. No, we will be in Romans. Wow. We are in a new book. We are in the book of Romans this morning. Starting in Romans chapter 1. And y'all know I'm getting out my trusty little, how the Bible in 10 words. The Bible in 10 words. I love this little book. It is awesome. I should say the book in 10 words. So Romans in 10 words or less. Y'all ready? Sinners are saved only by faith in Jesus Christ. Summing up Romans in 10 words. Sinners are saved only by faith in Jesus Christ. That is a word by itself. And the word is, and it says the author of Romans is Apostle Paul with his secretary, his assistants, Tertius, date approximately AD 57, conclusion of Paul's third missionary journey. Again, that's the date. In 10 words or less, sinners are saved only by faith in Jesus Christ. 9 words. Wow. And some details of Romans. Some call Romans a theology textbook, for it is a thorough explanation of the Christian life. Paul begins by describing God's righteous anger against human sin in chapters 1 through 2, noting that everyone falls short of God's standards or the glory of God, 3 and 23. But God himself provides the only way to overcome that sin. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus, is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, Romans 3 and 22, being justified, made right through faith in Jesus, we can consider ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's 6 and 11. God's Spirit will quicken, give life to 8 and 11. All who believe in Jesus follow us to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It is possible with God's help to be not overcome of evil, but to overcome evil with good. 12 and 21. And a few quotable scriptures, they call them quotables, I call them highlightables, for Romans are this: all sin and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23. God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and 8. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6 and 23. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 7, 24 and 25. We know that all things is my favorite scripture. 8 and 28. And for those out there who are television people that like to watch television, if you were ever a fan of the show Manifest and boo the NBC for canceling it, and yay to Netflix for bringing all the seasons on, and it's still in the top 10 on Netflix. But it is a show about faith. And if you watched it, or if you watched it from the beginning, it could be about resurrection. You know, it's so many things in there that you have to listen. But this scripture, it's said throughout the show's arc. And I'm like, they are speaking scripture in, and folks don't know it. But all the time, Michaela used to say, we know that all things work together for our good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And how they sneak it in, they don't go through the whole scripture, but they'll say, we know that all things work together for the good. And that's where they leave it. And then for those of us who know the word, we know the rest to put with it. That love God to them who are called according to his purpose. And when they would have a situation where they would have to help somebody. It was called a calling. I mean, whoever is the writer of this show, he's God in, and he did it in a subtle way. And, you know, I honestly in my heart believe they canceled the show because somebody finally figured out that it was a show about faith. And, of course, shows about faith, about God, about eternal life, about resurrection of the dead. Of course that can't be on television. Of course it can't. Talking about good and the Ark of Noah and, you know, the power of, oh, goodness, no, they done got into that Christian stuff. Mm-mm. That show's got to go off the air. Yeah, we can't have that. But I still say to us, and I still just say to everyone listening, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. Romans 13:10. Unique and unusual. Unlike Paul's other letters to churches, Romans was addressed to a congregation he never met. The great missionary was hoping to see the Roman Christians personally while traveling westward to Spain. Romans 15:23-24. It's unclear if Paul ever actually reached Spain or if he was executed in Rome after the end of the book of Acts. So what? In Paul's own words, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a word. I am so excited. So let's get into Romans this morning. What a great, great book. I am so, oh, Lord, thank you. I'm all giddied up because y'all know I'm giddy for Jesus and Paul. Bondservant of Jesus Christ. Father God, we are thankful, grateful, and again, truly blessed to be together again this morning, to study your word, to go through your word, to know your word. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, that if they are acceptable in your sight, for Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. And Lord, I ask forgiveness for anything done, seen and unseen. I ask you, Lord, to remove all sin from my heart, my mind, or my spirit. And for those that are listening, Lord, I ask you to give them strength, to give them perseverance, to run the race, oh God. For we know we are running a race to get to you, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that all sin that we have committed is forgiven. Before we go through your holy word, Lord God, I repent, I ask forgiveness, and I ask you, Lord God, to guide me through this word, that I will teach it the way you want it taught, that I will read it the way you want it read, and that I will speak it the way you want it spoken. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I lift up your word, I lift up hope, peace, love, and I lift up the joy of the Lord, which is you, for you are my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God. And it says this in the word. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of the holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by some reason, now at last I find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and I, and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often plan to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you. Also, just as among the other Gentiles, I am a debtor both to Greeks, to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed. Can y'all say this with me? This is another highlightable. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in its righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Say it with me, y'all. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Just shall live by faith. We are God's children, and we live by faith. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. I had to read it again. I got to read it one more time. One more time. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For it is righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith is written. The first shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who surpass the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify God as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, and I read that, I always think, you know, because y'all know I'm a fan of sci-fi. And, you know, in the Star Trek series, there's a group of aliens called the Borg, and their favorite word is resistance is futile. You know, but this is what the word of God says. And I'm going back to verse 21. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, all the things God says not to idolize. We became idolaters. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We know who the creature is. We know who the sneaky, low-down, dirty snake is, the tempter. And we know that sneaky snake is a tempter. And it goes on to say, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, come on now, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shamefully and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So, yes, it is in the word. And I'm going to read it again. For this reason, and let's go back up to the beginning, 24, so we get it all in context. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness. And I believe it says a reprobate mind in the King James Version. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the debased mind. There it is, the reprobated mind. To a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Did y'all catch that? That's for my children out there. And even from my generation, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving. Y'all caught that too, unloving and unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Wow, does it say that? Who knowing the righteousness, judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. But I want y'all to catch this thing. Sexual immorality falls right there and right in line with unrighteousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murderous, strife, deceit, evil-minded. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, are just those that are disobedient to parents are just as bad as those that are immoral, or who are sexually immoral, who are wicked in covetousness. Understand, listen to this. You are the same, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving. If you are unforgiving, you are just as bad as those other things. So as you stand and you judge and you vilify, look at these things. Are you doing that yourself? So as we said in judgment, sometimes we are doing the same thing. Unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them, putting them to death. It's God. We're not the ones doing what we were wondering, why so much is going on, because of these things. Because of these things. Judgment is happening. And understanding, you can't talk about this person's sexuality when you are unforgiving and hateful. You can't talk about the abortionness without talking about the death penalty. You can't say, I am pro-life, but you do things that are not of God. Because every one of us will be held accountable if we are evil-minded. We'll be held accountable if we are whisperers, meaning gossips, backbiters, haters of God. Okay, hey, don't believe in that God stuff. Mad at God, hate God, violent. Come on now. All those folks, proud, boasters, well, I am this and I am that and I. God's word gives us a blueprint. It is a basic instruction before leaving earth. It truly is. Because we know absent from this earthly body is in the presence of God over some life lessons and life examples. For this word, and for those that are just joining the Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. It's a study Bible, and we have been reading it since January 1st, and we will finish it, God willing, in the name of Christ Jesus, on December 31st. That is our goal. That is what my assignment is. I don't know what my assignment is for next year, but I do know that we will probably be coming out of the Tony Evans Study Bible is what God had given me, and I thought it was for this year, and then he said, nope, to read this Bible again. And I am grateful because I am learning so much, and I pray that you are learning right along with me. But Dr. Stanley's life lessons and life examples and life questions add so much to this word that I share it, but I always like to do a disclaimer. I don't own any rights to the song that starts the show Moving Forward. It is a song that touches my heart. It is the title of our show, and it came actually from Moving Forward, the song, because I was going through some things, and I was praying that I'm not going backwards, that I'm moving forward. in God's word and in what God has assigned me to do. So as we go to the word, and it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Highlightable memory scripture. We must never feel ashamed of our connection to Christ or to the salvation that he freely offered to us. It is a high privilege to represent him, and we must do so with boldness and enthusiasm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. We live the whole Christian life by faith. We take hold of grace for salvation. We take hold of grace for salvation by faith. And we take hold of grace for growing in godliness by faith. God loves to honor faith because faith honors him. Paul always connected grace and faith not only to salvation but also to obedience. Grace gives us the desire and the power to obey. And I like to add, by faith, hallelujah. And the life example is this, knowing God, the role of creation. God has given us his creation to demonstrate his power and to give us knowledge about him. In fact, God has revealed himself enough through creation, and it's inexcusable for people to deny the fact that he exists. Y'all caught that right. Romans 1 and 20 testifies, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What is the purpose of creation? God formed this universe to bring glory to himself. So even without a Bible, we can see evidence of him. Therefore, since God has made his existence obvious through nature, we know that the people who reclaim it that there is no God do so because they want to continue doing things their own way. They refuse to acknowledge that God exists because they don't want to be accountable to him. Unfortunately, we also know there is a way that seems right to a man, that it ends the way of death. Proverbs 14 and 12. Those who seek their own way are ultimately headed to destruction. We got to seek God. Of course, that's not to say that creation is a complete revelation of God or that it's adequate for salvation, which is only through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is only through Jesus Christ. However, it shows us that we don't have any excuses. God exists. It explains why in every culture there is a belief in some kind of God. It's natural for people to believe in a higher being, which is why people ultimately feel accountable to standards of right and wrong. So of what use is the knowledge that is seen in creation? We can use it to draw other people to the one true God. We see a great example of this when Paul preached to the people of Athens at Mars Hill. He said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Whew. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth. And I'm going to read that again. For the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God, who made the world. He made the whole world. He made everything in it. He made us. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, Acts 7:20-22-24. People want to know that the true God, so proclaim him openly with boldness. He wants to make himself known to them. And between your testimony and the witness of creation, he will. Romans 1, verse 24. God also gave them up. Romans 1 records how God would give people over to their sins. They refused to give up. So those sins take over their lives and eventually destroy them. Three times Paul uses this or a related phrase, verses 26 and 28. And as we continue in our Roman word, Romans chapter 2, and it says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge are in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God according to truth against those who practice such things, we already read them. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearing, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. You can't go to heaven or hell for me, and I can't go to heaven or hell for you. We are each held accountable for our own sins. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jews first and also of the Greeks. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who works what is good, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. For there is no partiality with God. And that is the title for our lesson, Romans chapter 2, verse 11. But there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many to have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do things in the law, these also have, not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve of the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor to the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? I do. Every time we open this word, I am teaching you as I am teaching myself. Thank you, Father God, for your word. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Come on now. You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking of the law? For the man of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that the heart in the spirit, not in the letter. Those whose praise is not from men, but from God. Whose praise is not from men, but from God. And Romans 2:4 says, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Salvation is a work of God from start to finish. Even our repentance demonstrates the Spirit of God at work in our hearts. We repent because of the goodness of God, not because of the goodness of our heart. Come on, y'all. They did such a touch from the goodness of their heart. You hear that all the time. From the goodness of my heart, I did such a touch for you. You know, and, you know, little lady, from the goodness of my heart, I made you this apple pie. From the goodness of my heart, honey, I need you to, you know, you need to make that skirt just a little bit longer. Don't wear that. You know, you don't need to wear that. But what does it say? We repent because of the goodness of God, not because of the goodness of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And we go to Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. And when we go to verses 5 through 6, it says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of the wrath of revelations of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. And Dr. Stanley says, throughout the Bible, we learn that God will reward believers for their spirit-empowered good works and will punish unbelievers for their flesh-driven evil deeds. And God keeps actively that. Romans chapter 2, verse 16, God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. At the judgment, every secret motivation or desire or act will come out into the open. Jesus said, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Luke chapter 8, verse 17. And as we continue, answers to life questions. How does my conscience differ from the guidance of the Holy Spirit? The conscience functions something like a computer. A computer is programmed to respond to specific ways to specific information. Also, it responds to information based on the commands it has been programmed to follow. When I click my word processing application, my computer knows to open my word processor. For the most part, computers are simply responders. The conscience is a responder as well. It responds to certain input just as it has been programmed. Paul described it like this. When Gentiles who do not have the law by by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. God has programmed his moral code into the heart of every man and woman. We are born with it. When a person's actions or thoughts violate that code, the conscience responds by sending a no message to the brain. On the other hand, when the act of thought goes along the programmed moral code, the conscience says go. Notice Paul says our thoughts sometimes point out the legitimacy of certain actions. When that happens, if the actions line up with the law of God written in our hearts, the conscience gives us to go ahead. When you become Christian, a change begins to occur in your conscience. The basic moral code that everyone has a birth started to get overhauled. The spirit of truth took up residency in your heart. Then, whether you were aware of it or not, he immediately set about to reprogram your conscience. Whereas before you had a general sense of right and wrong, the Holy Spirit began renewing your mind to more specific and complete truth, Corinthians chapter 2, verses. In this renewal process, every time you read your Bible, attend worship, memorize a verse, or pray, the Holy Spirit uses all this input to reprogram the database through which your conscience evaluates every opportunity, though invitation, word, and deed. Thought, invitation, word, and deed. As this process continues, your conscience tunes in with the moral code of the Holy Spirit, a code reflecting the moral and ethical standards of God. This process sanitizes you not only to God's moral standards, but also to the will of God. Yes, God gives us free will, but he also gives us an understanding of right and wrong. You know if you steal that candy bar, there's something in your mind that says, don't do it. Don't do it. And if you do it anyway, you know you are going against the Holy Spirit, and you're going against God. You're going against the preachings of the Savior. You're going against the commandments of God. Thou shalt not steal. If you commit adultery, if you're lusting after a woman or after a man, your conscience says, no. And to women, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. That Proverbs 18 word. God is giving us everything we need to live moral lives. Romans chapter 2, verse 24, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Whether we realize it or not, unbelievers are watching both us and our conduct. God intends for what they see to attract them into his kingdom. But when we disobey the Lord and act foolishly, the opposite often happens. Understand, we may be the only Jesus somebody sees. You may be the only church that somebody hears. And if you're out there doing the same thing as the world, if you're blaspheming in the pulpit, worshiping man instead of worshiping God, you are turning people away from the church and turning people away from Christ. Church, I can go in no church. And folks say, none but hypocrites. I can't talk about anybody, but I'm talking about me. Those are things I used to say. Tuned out of the church for a while when I couldn't deal with the hypocrisy that I was seeing in the church body from the leadership down. I tuned out. I tuned out of the church. I never tuned out of God. I never tuned out of the Word of God. Never tuned out of my salvation and belief in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I just tuned out of church. And then God convicted me. And when he convicted me, it hit hard. We do need to go to church. We do need to commune with each other. God wants us to be congregational. And I tell you this, congregational prayer changes things. It really does. You need to go to prayer service. If you have prayer at your church, go to prayer. It makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference in your mind, your spirit, and it makes a difference in your health. Seriously. Romans chapter 3 is our last word. We might go just a tad over, but I believe we should be able to get it all. And it says, what advantage then has a Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Would their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not. But then how will God judge the world? But if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come? As we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say their condemnation is just. What then are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged that both Jew and Greeks, that they are all under sin, as it is written. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, or by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned. This is the word that's highlightable. Chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of those who have faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law or works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through. Do you then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 8, life lesson. Why not say, let us do evil that good may come? Some opponents of Paul claim that the apostles' teaching on grace amounted to saying, I'm saved anyway, so I might as well sin. God's grace will take care of it. Paul condemned this distortion of grace, and I condemn that distortion of grace. Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God because before their eyes, all sin eventually comes down to the refusal to fear God. All the heinous sins that Paul lists have their source in rebellious attitude that will not honor God as God. Not honoring your mother and your father is a rebellious attitude. Romans 3:20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. God gave his people the law so they should understand their need for grace, not so that they could try to earn their way into his favor. The law shows us our sin. It doesn't empower us to follow it. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus alone among all the billions of human beings ever born on this planet lived his entire life by the power of the Spirit, always doing his Father's will and never committing a single sin. Thanking God for his word this morning. Thanking God for each and every one of you this morning for tuning in, for listening to the word of God. And just a word from our sister in Christ before we get out of here this morning. And Sister Carolyn's word for today is this. Good morning, and God is my salvation, and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Psalm chapter 62, verse 7. Have a blessed Sunday, family. And as we get out of here, I just want to read one more proverb, one more psalm, and then we are done. And it says, how long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what brutality have you created, all the children of men? What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Lord, where are your former loving kindness, which you swore to David in your truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of your servants. How I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many people with which your enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of the anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our matchless Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. And again, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. And we are finished. It is a wrap. Thank you so much, family, for listening in. Have a blessed day. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And know there is one God, and his name is Jehovah, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.